Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, September 23rd, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Sarah Beth Wagner. Sarah Beth and her husband Tom have two children, Elizabeth and Claire Bennett. After Sarah Beth reads for us, I look forward to a time where she and I will sit down and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Sarah Beth, for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to be reading from the Old Testament, Joshua 15, and we've taken a few liberties to summarize some of the passage because there's a lot of names listed. So Joshua 15, the allotment for Judah. The allotment for tribe of Judah, clan by clan, extended down into the territory of Edom, to the desert of Zin in the extreme south. The western boundary is the coastline of the Great Sea. These are the boundaries around the people of Judah by their clans. In accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, a portion in Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. Arba was the forefather of Anak. From Hebron, Caleb drove out three Anakites, Sheshai, Iman, and Talmai, descendants of Anak. From there, he marched against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, took it, so Caleb gave his daughter Aksa to him in marriage. One day, when she came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, What can I do for you? She replied, Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water. So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of Judah, clan by clan. The southernmost towns of the tribe of Judah in the Negev toward the boundary of Edom, and it lists many villages and towns. In the western foothills, it also lists many villages and towns, settlements as far as the Wadi of Egypt and the coastline of the Great Sea. And in the hill country, it lists many villages and towns. In the desert, there were six villages and towns. Judah could not dislodge the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem, and to this day the Jebusites live there with the people of Judah. Now let's turn to our psalm for the day, Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Our New Testament reading for today is Matthew 12, 1-14. The disciples pick wheat on the Sabbath. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. He answered, Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and when he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for priests. Or haven't you read the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He said to them, If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. He said to the man, Stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out and was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus.
Thank you, Sarah Beth, for joining the podcast today. We're grateful for your reading, and thank you for kind of adjusting that Joshua passage for us a little bit. That was a lot of names. I want to hear a little bit about you. Tell me about your family.
Thanks for having me. So I'm married to Tom, and we've been married for 11 years. We have two daughters, Elizabeth and Claire Bennett. Elizabeth is almost four, and Claire Bennett is almost 4 months.
And so cute. Tell me a little bit about what she's doing now, a milestone.
This morning she actually almost tried to roll over from her back to her belly. Oh. So that was pretty exciting. And she's constantly watching Elizabeth, I think, as most younger children do.
Well, I was going to ask, tell me a little bit more about Elizabeth. What's her personality like?
So Elizabeth is a very imaginative personality. She is always pretending. She sings quite frequently. She's a little bit of a watcher in crowds, but once she starts to get to know you, she opens up and just has a really pleasant, funny personality. We're getting to the age now where she's telling a lot of jokes, so that's the toddler, or not toddler, but the preschool jokes are pretty hilarious.
They are funny. Tell me how you met Tom and tell me a little bit more about him.
So Tom and I met when I was living in Nashville. I was working as a nurse up there and had been working up there for about 6 months after graduating from Auburn. And Tom actually was in flight school down at Fort Rucker. He was in the military and was learning how to fly Black Hawk helicopters. And his first duty station was in Tennessee at Fort Campbell, which is about an hour away from Nashville. So he and his friends were up there for the weekend, and we happened to meet out one night when my friends and I were also out.
Just happenstance?
Just happenstance.
Wow.
We laugh because Tom was with some friends, and there was a table that was empty, and one of his friends was sitting at the table. It was a very crowded place, and my friends and I were looking for a place to sit, and I suggested we just go sit at the table with the guy, because I said, no guys are going to say no if five girls come and try to sit at his table.
And I guess that's exactly what
happened.
That's
exactly right. So we went and sat down, and Tom and I started talking, and we ended up exchanging phone numbers, and we kept communicating, and he went back to Fort Campbell for another month, or excuse me, Fort Rucker for another month down in Alabama. And we communicated pretty much every day, either by text or phone. And when he moved up to Fort Campbell, he came to Nashville and we went on a date, and that was pretty much it.
Such a wonderful love story. Tell me about your wedding day and then the next steps that you guys took.
So we dated for about a year, and then he deployed for a year to Afghanistan. That was his first deployment. So we felt that it was the best choice for us was to wait to get married until he got back from his first deployment, just to make sure that we were truly committed and kind of just allow our relationship to grow. And it actually was a very good thing for us. I think having that time separated allowed me to continue to grow in my career and start going to school, and allowed him to kind of grow in our career and us realize and appreciate each other since we weren't with each other every day. When he got back, we got engaged about a month after he got it back. And we got married about 4 months after that. So pretty quick engagement. We just didn't want to be away from each other anymore. After we got married, he continued to be in the military, and then we started kind of doing moving around a little bit. So we went back to Fort Rucker down in close to Enterprise for him to go to Captain's Career Course for 6 months. And then after that, we moved to Alaska. Alaska, yes. So we were in Alaska for 3 years. That was a great experience. And we had only been married a year when we moved to Alaska. And I would recommend anybody who is a newlywed, you know, I think it was a great time for us because we didn't have a lot of family or friends close. So we really had to rely on each other and kind of, you know, make new experiences together. And I think that was really good for our marriage, especially as a newlywed couple.
Tell me the name of the town where you lived and then any fun or interesting experiences that you would share with us.
So we lived in Fairbanks, which is it's right in the middle of the state. Alaska is really massive. I don't think I realized how big it was until we moved there, but it's about three times the size of Texas. So it's huge. So Fairbanks, it's in the middle of the state. It's about 6 hours to Anchorage, which is like the other big city that people know of. And although Fairbanks is a quote big city, it only has about, you know, 30,000 people in the proper Fairbanks area. So pretty small, not a ton of things to do. Lots of wonderful wildlife, lots of, you know, hiking and fishing and camping that we could do. And we enjoy all those things. One experience that sticks out is my time working at the Native Alaskan clinic. I'm a nurse practitioner, and I worked at a Native Alaskan clinic called Chief Andrew Isaac. All my patients were Native Alaskan or Native American, so that was a very different experience from anything I've experienced while being a nurse in the Southeast. But it was very fun because you really get to know a new culture, and they have a lot of different traditions that we don't have. I had a colleague who brought me some whale blubber to eat. And so the way that she's called muktuk in Inupiaq, but you basically eat this whale blubber. You dip it in the whale oil. They still were whalers, and so they would dip it in the whale oil and then eat it. And it kind of tastes like sushi. It has a real fatty taste, but it's not very flavorful, but it's very satisfying, if you can kind of know what I mean by that.
So is it a delicacy there?
It's not necessarily a delicacy. They eat it pretty regularly. They're allowed to get it because they are subsistence living. So what that means is that they can catch food any time of the year. Otherwise, if you're hunting or fishing, you have to follow the guidelines and laws for how many fish you can catch, what kind of fish you can catch, how many animals you can hunt. But if you're subsistence living, you can catch anything pretty much most of the year and eat it.
So while you were in Alaska, did you find a church home?
We did. So we visited a couple places, and we ended up deciding that, or felt the Lord was calling us to the Protestant chapel on post. In any military installation, they usually have a Protestant chapel and a Catholic chapel. So we ended up going to the Protestant chapel, which was a really neat experience for us. It's a group of, it was run by the chaplains in the military. So each chaplain, they had a background that might have been different. So depending on who was preaching for the day, and they all took turns preaching, you might have a more liturgical service if the Lutheran chaplain was preaching, or if you had you might have a more traditional Baptist service if you had a Baptist chaplain preaching. So it was a pretty neat group of people, a lot of volunteers doing lots and lots for the church, because essentially the chaplains are moving around just like the other military families are. So there wasn't really like a constant presence. There's a couple of people who were, older that had been there that were to retire, that continued to stay and help to be that constant presence. But as a worshiper of the chapel, you know, everybody had a responsibility to participate and volunteer. So we got really involved in that. It was a great experience. I helped out with the music a lot and ended up being one of the worship leaders for music. Tom ended up doing the soundboard, which he had really no experience doing the soundboard, but they needed someone to do it. And so we kind of you just have to kind of volunteer and do it.
Well, I see you on Sunday serving as a choir member, but now I've got to get Tom involved with the soundboard now that you've told me that. Okay, so you were in Alaska. Then what? Did you come back to Alabama?
After that, Tom ended up deciding to get out of the military. At that time, he had been in for 8 years, and he had actually went to West Point for his college experience. So he had gone to a military academy for college and then done flight school and then been in flying helicopters. And after that, we felt that the Lord was calling us to have more of a civilian life. So he ended up getting out of the military, and we moved to North Carolina, where he went to Duke University to get his MBA. And I continued to work as a nurse practitioner there in a rural town in North Carolina, mostly tobacco farming community. So a lot of older patients, as well as some young patients who were mostly laborers.
And then how did you make your way back to Alabama?
After Tom finished his MBA, we ended up moving to Atlanta, where he worked for a consulting firm, and I worked as a nurse practitioner at Emory University. We lived there for a couple of years, and then we had Elizabeth, and I decided I wanted to stay home for a few years with Elizabeth. So we moved to our lake house at Logan Martin Lake and lived there for a couple of years. And then after being home with Elizabeth for about 2 years, I felt like I wanted to go back into the workforce. So I ended up getting a job at the VA here in Birmingham, and we moved to Birmingham, so we were a little bit closer for work.
That's wonderful. Okay, you came to Birmingham, but how did you get to Mount Brook Baptist?
So we've ended up moving to Mountain Brook, and when we started looking at churches, we only live about a couple streets over. And my background is Baptist, so I actually went to River Chase Baptist, and so knew of Mountain Brook Baptist from when I was a kid, just because Buddy Nelson was my pastor that I grew up with, and his dad, Dr. Nelson, of course, was here. So I knew about Mountain Brook Baptist and wanted to visit. And we visited several times, and we really didn't visit anywhere else. We just felt like it was home here, and just the people were so welcoming and friendly, and we got to know people very quickly. Elizabeth really enjoyed it, and it was just a really great fit for us.
I want to know maybe about a time that you saw the Lord at work around you, or a time when you've just sensed His presence really clearly.
So there's been lots of times in my life, but the times that have kind of come out most to me are definitely during Tom's deployments. So the first one when we were dating, that was probably the harder one just because we weren't married yet. And it was my first one. And so we didn't really know what to expect. But I just really felt I had to rely on the Lord to kind of get me through that. And then, of course, he deployed again when we were in Alaska. And so he was gone for only 6 months that time. So much shorter than the year. But it was a great time for me to grow in my faith and to rely on the Lord. And then more recently, I've had a lot of health issues after having Claire Bennett. Thankfully, I'm doing much better. I don't mind talking about it. I ended up having a lot of blood pressure issues after having Claire Bennett, and there was a lot of difficulty with figuring out what the problem was. I was in the hospital for 10 days, and they were doing lots and lots of tests and just couldn't really figure out what the problem was, and they ended up finding a tumor on my adrenal gland. And they were able to, it was one of those things they were able to remove actually pretty easily once they figured out the issue, but they're quite rare. And so it just took a long time to discover. And in that season, I really saw the hand of the Lord helping our family with having just many, many people from our church, people we both knew but really didn't know very well, providing a lot of support with our family through prayer and through meals and helping with Elizabeth and just all the different support factors. We also had an experience with having a friend here in the church who knew an endocrinologist personally and, you know, was able to help with getting me in quickly. And I really saw the Lord's help with that. So it was a time that was very frightening, but also I felt a lot of peace throughout the whole time. I really didn't feel worried that I was going to, pass away or that I was going to have lifelong complications. I just felt at peace and knew that everything was going to work out, and that I was going to be the healthy mom again for Claire Bennett and for Elizabeth.
I want to end by asking you, do you have a favorite passage or verse of scripture?
One of my favorite verses is actually from Joshua 1:9, and I'm going to go ahead and just read it. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is a verse that Tom and I took to heart, especially when he went on his first deployment. We would constantly say it together and pray over it. We ended up writing it on note cards, and I kept a note card that he had written in my Bible. He kept the note card I'd written in his breast pocket while he was deployed. And we just felt like it was a verse that we could just continue to focus on and pray so that we could feel strong and courageous, because we knew that the Lord was going to be with us and going to be helping us every single day with every single task.
Thank you so much, Sarah Beth, for joining the podcast and for sharing your story with us. You and Tom, Elizabeth, and Claire Bennett are a blessing to our fellowship. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Thank you for having me, Mary. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time. We thank you for being able to read these scriptures. And as we continue throughout our day and our week, that we'll just think about these scriptures and keep them in our heart. We thank you so much for your faithfulness and for all that you've given us, for a wonderful church family and how we can support each other. We ask for continued blessings, and we ask all this in your name. Amen.